From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Measurable Progress Towards Certain Victory, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Divine love is rendered conspicuous when it shines in the midst of judgments. Fair is that lone star which smiles through the rifts of the thunderclouds. Bright is the oasis which blooms in the wilderness of sand. So fair and so bright is love in the midst of wrath. When the Israelites provoked the Most High by their continued idolatry, He punished them by withholding both dew and rain, so that their land was visited by a sore famine. But while He did this, He took care that His own chosen ones should be secure. If all other brooks are dry, yet shall there be one reserved for Elijah. And when that fails, God shall still preserve for him a place of sustenance. Nay, not only so, the Lord had not simply one Elijah, but He had a remnant according to the election of grace, who were hidden by fifties in a cave. And though the whole land was subject to famine, yet these fifties in the cave were fed, and fed from Ahab's table, too, by his faithful, God-fearing steward, Obadiah. Let us from this draw the inference that, come what may, God's people are safe. Let convulsion shake the solid earth, let the skies themselves be rent in twain, yet amid the wreck of worlds, the believer shall be as secure as in the calmest hour of rest. If God cannot save His people under heaven, He will save them in heaven. If the world becomes too hot to hold them, then heaven shall be the place of their reception and their safety. Be ye then confident when ye hear of wars and rumors of wars. Let no agitation distress you, but be quiet from fear of evil. Whatsoever cometh upon the earth, you, beneath the broad wings of Jehovah, shall be secure. Stay yourself upon His promise, rest in His faithfulness, and bid defiance to the blackest future, for there is nothing in it direful for you. Your sole concern should be to show forth to the world the blessedness of hearkening to the voice of wisdom.
Sometimes
Seas are on
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Many, many years ago, God had promised the land to Abraham's descendants, and now he confirmed that promise to Joshua. In verse 3 of chapter 1, God said to Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Dr. Cairns has emphasized that the conquest of the land, as well as victory in the Christian life, is accomplished one step at a time. Joshua had a great goal before him, and he was aware of the need of caring for every detail to assure the victory. Having recognized the goal, Joshua took the steps necessary to achieve it. God had said that Joshua would conquer exactly as much land as he occupied. In other words, our victory will be no better than our daily walk with God. Joshua was looking to God for great things. Similarly, we must live and work by faith, constantly relying upon the Lord for strength and guidance. As Martin Luther stated, "The successful servant of God must know what he believes and be willing to die for it." Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message called Measurable Progress Toward Certain Victory.
When they brought the woman taken in adultery, they wanted to stone her. Bunch of hypocrites that they were, while they let their equally immoral crony, who had been taken in adultery with her, they let him go free, but they wanted to put her to death. Jesus said, "I do not condemn thee." It's not that he was soft in sin, but he had a great, great love for sinners. And that's part of sanctification. Holiness is not sitting in our little glass box, watching the world go by, throwing up pharisaical hands, saying, "I thank you, God, that I am not as other men." Holiness is going in the power and the love of Jesus Christ to the real people of the real world. Jesus could not look on a crowd without tears, for they were a sheep without a shepherd. He could not look on the most unworthy without reaching out. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Think of his attitude to suffering. He's the man of sorrows. The first crown he ever wore after his incarnation was a crown of thorns. The Apostle Paul grasped this when in Philippians chapter 3 he started to plumb the depths of sanctification. He said, "I suffer the loss of all things." If you look at the context, he suffered the loss of, as far as his people were concerned, his pedigree, his prestige, his position in life. He suffered the loss of all the advancement for which he had been admirably trained. He suffered the loss of riches. He suffered the loss of comfort. He suffered the loss of men's applause. He suffered the loss of all things until finally he suffered the loss largely of health. He was battered, bruised, and broken. And then he suffered the loss of life. He says, "I have suffered the loss of all these things. To me they are just dung." Stop there. Now, we're supposed to be Christians. Let's not mouth the words. Some of the things that you and I hold on to as if they were the gold dust of heaven, Paul says, shovel it away, it's just dung. It stinks in the nostrils of God. I suffer the loss of all things to win Christ. These are the hard steps toward the great goal. Time doesn't permit me to follow this into the home life. But you've got to ask not only what kind of a home do I want, but what am I doing especially in the light of Ephesians chapter 5, 22. Well, go back to 17 and following. In the light of all that, what am I doing to bring about the home that I ought to have? Am I the husband in that home, the father in that home? If you're the mother in that home, the son or the daughter, am I doing what God says I ought to do? It's all right saying the kind of home we want. Christians want a lot for their homes, but they're not willing to pay the price to have it. So many people think it's such a sacrifice. The world mocks such a sacrifice you make for this kind of home. But let me tell you, when you read God's Word, especially Ephesians 5, mark it carefully and ask yourself, what am I doing to obtain the blessing? Take your church life. We all want a certain kind of church, a biblical, Christ-centered, evangelistic, separated church that's outside the apostasy, that's praying through, that's a warm fellowship, that wants revival. We all want that kind of church. But what are you doing to make it so? It's all right saying, I want a biblical church, while you're living unbiblically. You're living a lie. What about, well, I want a praying church, but I'm never at prayer meeting, and I maybe don't spend too much time alone with God either. Well, it's no use wanting a praying church if you won't pray. Well, I like a church with a warm fellowship, but you're out the door as fast as your two legs will carry you. Now, let's be real here. The church is just a body of people. And that body of people will only be what the individual members are. The question is not what kind of a church should we be. I think we know that, and the objectives are sound. But the intermediate steps toward those objectives, we have got to get right down to it. What should I do? Take the area of soul winning and service. What am I doing to win the lost for Christ? What am I doing to bring people in under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is my role in all of this? The church has people who go door to door. Have you ever done that? I can remember a time when it wasn't just one or two small teams going out from this church. I can remember a time when there were teams going out that made sure they covered every area of the district. But some of our people say, oh yes, we want people to come in, but they've never done that. Well, let's take another route. What about personal witness? Many times have you ever gone to a sinner and said, I want you to come with me this Lord's Day to the house of God. I'll come, I'll pick you up, I'll bring you. You'll not wander in as a stranger to a strange place. I wonder, have you ever done it? Again, it's all right to say, oh, we want all this, 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 and this. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon will be yours. That's the invariable spiritual rule. If we are going to get the objective, listen, there are places we've got to go. There are people we have got to approach. There are steps we have got to take. There are battles we have got to fight. There are sacrifices we have got to make. There are souls we have got to win before we're ever going to obtain our grand objectives. Like Major Howard at Pegasus Bridge, our role sometimes is going to be difficult. Sometimes it's apparently insignificant. A lot of people feel that in church work. Well, who am I? What is my role? I can't sing, I can't preach, I can't do this, I can't do that. Listen, my friend, I learned this as a young Christian. The most important thing that I can do is not preach. I was as involved in church work before God called me to preach as ever I have been since. The most important thing was not to preach. The most important thing was to live for Christ. I can remember as a young man, there were a few of us there, and I think of one young fellow who was a most gifted speaker. We used to be asked to go and take part in meetings here and there. If it was on the Lord's Day, nope, we'll not go. Why? Because we didn't want to serve the Lord? No, that's not the reason. But we were members of a small church. It had been through the fire. And we were praying. We had all nights of prayer. We had days of prayer and fasting. We were knocking every door in the neighborhood. We were doing children's open-air meetings, adult open-air meetings. We were witnessing everywhere we went. We were trying to bring people to Christ and bring people in under the sound of the Word of God. Why on earth would we run away on the Lord's Day? No reason under the sun. We'll not be gone. We can't go, for God has placed us there. We were only teenagers, insignificant, but no, not insignificant. I remember walking with knocking knees, literally, for I never was good at it, knocking knees, going door to door in a hard district. I remember meeting a Roman Catholic woman who had no interest at all, but who said, "My husband likes to talk about all these things. Maybe he would talk." I remember arranging a meeting between him and our minister. All done out of such weakness. But that Roman Catholic man and his wife and his family were all saved as a result. And he's in the glory today. Nothing is insignificant when it's done for Jesus Christ. Anything that leads us to the goal, whether in personal life, home life, church life, soul winning and service, whatever the area, anything that leads us to the goal is not insignificant. Let's go do it then. Looking unto Jesus, let's get our strength from Him and go and do it. Go and do it. What is it I must do? And I want you to think before this year ends. Now we're in the last few weeks of it. Before this year ends, ask the Lord that you will be able to list these areas of your life, personal life, home life, church life, and public service. List these things. Ask the Lord that you will make measurable progress. I'm not talking about stipulating the same aims and objectives in new terms. I'm not talking about drawing up grand schemes. It's good to have the grand scheme of things. But ask the Lord that in each of these areas you will make measurable progress. Definitive steps taken toward the great goal of living in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Remember John Howard and Pegasus Bridge. You may only have one little bridge to take. Doesn't seem much in the grand scheme of conquering a continent. But if that's the job God gives you to do, it's important enough for you to go and do it. I was reminding our student ministers of something Martin Luther said when he drew up a list of the qualifications of a good minister. He had many things to say about what a minister must have. One of them was, he must know what he believes and be willing to give his life for it. I would say that is the mark that God is looking for in every Christian. I know what I must do, and by the grace of God, I'll do it. And as I do it, I trust in Him to give me the grace and the power. And He has said, I'll not fail you. Let me not fail Him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.